You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Kevin O'Malley and Rory Delaghi. A busy Saturday to look forward to as well, with a good card at Haydock, the Group 2 Sandy Lane Stakes, a feature on their card. We also have racing at Chester, Beverley and Catterick on the flat, and National Hunt Racing from Cartmel in the afternoon, and it's jumping from Fosslass and racing on the turf at Salisbury in the evening. Right now, I'm joined in the studio by Ross Brierley to look ahead to the action. How are you, Ross?
Hey, Marky Mark. I am fine, thank you. Fine and dandy.
Good.
Both of those things. Improved immensely for sitting in an airtight studio with you.
I hope it's not airtight, because we will run out of oxygen eventually.
Well, we better get this podcast rocking and rolling then.
Right, let's rattle through this then. We'll start with some news. I just want to look back at the action at Sandown on Thursday night and obviously the effect that's had on the markets for Royal Ascot.
Okie doke.
Ross, we'll start with Time Test, winner of the Brigadier Gerard, under a good ride from Ryan Moore. And he's been quoted now at 11-2 for the Prince of Wales Stakes. We also saw the Japanese horse, Shin Hikari, win impressively in France the other day. He heads the market at 7-4. So a couple of things to consider there.
Impressively, yeah. I think, yeah. Just to go back to that, yeah,
Time Test now 5-1, in fact, changed in the last few hours.
And what price is Ashin Hikari?
He's 7-4.
7-4, yeah, that's about fair enough. Yeah, that was incredible, wasn't it, in France? But Time Test, clearly a horse of huge potential last season, and things just didn't go to plan on his final start over at Keeneland, but it wouldn't be the first, and certainly won't be the last horse to say that. And things didn't go to plan particularly behind Arabian Queen in the Judd Runnels International. So when things do go to plan, he looks very, very talented indeed. He's got Ascot form, quickens up beautifully when asked, and all systems go. Yeah, I think he's going to be. I think at 5-1, he rates a rock solid each way bet, because I'm going to have to learn how to say that, aren't I? Ashin Hikari is going to face rather different conditions than they faced the other day, albeit conditions that will probably suit. Mm-hmm. But Time Test, it was a perfect prep at Sandown. He beat a bit of a twicer in the shape of Western Him. There was a good pace to chase at Farham, so things did set up for him quite nicely. But things should set up for him nicely as well at Royal Ascot. So I have no doubt in my mind that he will go very close. And he looked a Group 1 horse last year, and the time was very, very good at Sandown. So, and I mean very good. So he's a Group 1 horse. He just has to find the race to win. So, yeah, exciting times.
Hmm. We'll move on to Palisator next. Was the winner of the Henry the Second Stakes at Sandown on Thursday night. He'll go to the Ascot Gold Cup, and he is currently 16-1. I didn't think he'd be quite that big, actually, but decent double figure price for him.
Yeah, still not convinced. Mm. He beat a couple of modest enough types, I suppose, in a fiddly little race the other day at Sandown. I'm not overly convinced about that form particularly. I think he's going to face some very stiff opposition at Royal Ascot. Obviously, the Ballydoyle Battalions will be very confident of winning that. And I quite like Mizu to run a big race, but I don't know. He's obviously a very quirky individual. He has to be taken down early. Half the time jockeys don't quite know what to do with him. I'm not entirely convinced. Fair play to them for winning the Henry II Stakes the other night, but I think it'd be a disappointing Gold Cup if he wins it. So 16-1 seems about fine. You can have that.
Thanks.
Take it, Mark. Yeah. Take it and run with it, my friend.
Well, I thought it was an each way angle. I thought it was well. Look at the horses in behind.
I'm not convinced. I am not convinced.
Right. Would you rather play Max Dynamite?
Probably, because he'll have more to come and he's at least a bit more straightforward. But yeah. I'm still not overly convinced about him either. So.
Well, he's tens and he finished third. So that's kind of the way I looked at it. But I think Max Dynamite's open to more progress from that run.
Yes, definitely, yeah. Yes. And, yeah, I would rather chance Max Dynamite. I think he will, as you said, come on for that run and be a little bit more interested on the day. But, yeah, I don't think I've ever backed Palisator, and I don't think I'm going to start now.
Fair enough. We should also mention the two-year-old race as well. Global Applause beating Maymas.
Yep.
Both will be Royal Ascot bound, I imagine. But possibly different races?
Well, I'd probably be very, very surprised. Yeah. if they seem very different horses. It's the second time they've met. Maymas is obviously beat Global Applause over 6 furlongs at Newbury in very impressive fashion. And even when he won at Chester, he got going very late on to Power Home. Similar comments apply at Sandown the other night. The fact that Richard Haddon really likes winning the National Stakes maybe influenced their decision into what race to go for, because it was a little bit of an odd one. He wasn't particularly well drawn. As I said, it's not really a track that necessarily suits his run style. And he got beaten by Global Applause, who had a perfect toe into the race, and he's clearly a dead 5 furlong speedball. He'll go for the Norfolk Stakes. He'll be very, very hard to beat in that. Maymas should go for the Coventry. And he would have an excellent chance. He's actually been eased out for that, but there was nothing in the run at Sandown the other night that suggested that there was anything different to expect from Maymas. He didn't win, but it's no great surprise he didn't win. So if you fancied him before Sandown, I don't think anything's changed personally. Although I do fancy, I prefer the Irish contingent for the commentary personally. But again, if you were in the Maymas camp, there's no reason to desert him. And the same reason for Global Applause, really. Again, as I said, he looks a 5 furlong speedball.
Yeah, Maymas now 5-1 for the Coventry, 5th of the odds, 1, 2, and 3. I'd see that as relatively solid each way bet to nothing. But like you mentioned, there's a strong Irish challenger. Caravaggio and Psychedelic Funk both look pretty useful as well.
I do very much like Psychedelic Funk, yeah. Mm. The horse and the genre.
Of course. One more thing I want to talk to you about, Ross, before we get stuck into Saturday's action, is the Oaks, and just a story relating to that with regards to Skiffle.
Another favourite genre of mine.
It looks like Godolphin are going to supplement her, and she'll bid to follow in the footsteps of Snow Fairy, who won the Heights of Fashion Stakes before going on to win the Oaks. Can she do it? She's 12-1 in the market at the moment.
I think she's got a chance, yeah. Obviously, Minding's setback the other day. I say setback, obviously defeat. It is a setback, but nothing too worrying. Opens the race up a little bit. Again, it seems like one of those years where you might, if you've got something that might hit the first three at Epsom, then sod it. Let's have a go, quite frankly. As I said, I fancied her at Goodwood after she ran a really taking debut, and I really liked the way she did it at Goodwood. She took quite a while to get going, but when she did, she powered clear. And again, there's absolutely no reason to suggest that an extra 2 furlongs will not bring about even more improvement from her. I really like her. I really like the way she goes about things. And you said about Palisade looking overpriced for the Gold Cup. I think she definitely looks overpriced for the Oaks. She beat a highly regarded John Gosden filly. As I said, stamina clearly the name of the game, the way she powered clear in the final furlong. And that was her first proper race. So God knows how much more there is to come. She improves half a stone, which is more than likely. She's right in the mix. So yeah, I think she looks a fair old bet.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those where people are just waiting for it to be absolutely confirmed before you'd see the price short on them, wouldn't you? And I think she is supplemented.
Once you look at the rest of the field, you're going to go, actually, yeah, she'd have a squeak.
Mm. Anything else on your mind, Roscoe, before we move on?
Not particularly, no. I think that's all the quick. It's a relatively quiet racing weekend, really. Just, Keep on trucking, Mark. Keep on trucking.
All right. Let's move on to Saturday's action then. Ross has got four races prepared for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at some of the racing at Chester and some from Haydock. We'll go through them in meeting order and we'll start at Chester in their 250. This one is a Class 2 handicap. It's over 7.5 furlongs. It's for 4-year-olds and older and a field of 12. To go to post here. Predominance heads the market at the moment at 4-1, 9-2 for best of times. Gabriel's Kakar is 6-1, 7-1 for Al Khan, Capo Rosso 8s and 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. What do you make of this race at Chester, Ross?
Bit of a nightmare, in a good way. It looks a nice little race. Predominance and best of times, both unexposed 4-year-olds. Best of times dropping back in trip after a couple of runs over 10 furlongs last season. I think that's a pretty good move in the grand scheme of things. Predominance, I don't really know what to make of Predominance. His best performances have come round a bend, so no surprise to see him here. He seems to kind of get lost in the mix in straight mile and 7 furlong races, as big fields seem to intimidate him a little bit. But a bit of a different rhythm around Chester, and he's drawn in box one, which is sure to see him go well. That said, as a pretty much a confirmed hold-up horse, he could have an absolute nightmare here. Best of times to join on in 12. He's facing a completely different proposition, so I think it's worth taking on both the unexposed types with more exposed contenders. And the two I'm going to throw at you are Gabriel's Kaka and Ocean Tempest. Ocean Tempest has got excellent form here at the track. Recorded a very strong time when winning here at this track last season. He's drawn in 2. Disappointed at Doncaster last time we saw him, but that was in very unsuitable ground. And Gabriel's Kaka's another one who loves it here at the track. Ran into a resurgent Asraf at Newbury last time out. But again, he's got rock-solid course form here, and he deserves a change of look. So I think at bigger prices than what the 2 4-year-olds are likely to be, Gabriel's Kaka and Ocean Tempest are the two.
Couple to consider there then in the 250 at Chester. Let's move on to the action at Haydock next. The 235 at Haydock is where we start. This is a Fillies Group 3 over a mile and almost a mile and a half. It's registered as the Pinnacle Stakes, and we've got 9 of them in the lineup here. The market headed by Journey at the time of recording this, who's 13-8. Kanaki is 5-1, 7-1 for Laganor. Lustrous is 8s with Miss Marjorie and Sweeping Up, and 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. We'll start with Journey. Ross was a beaten favourite at York in the Middleton Stakes on reappearance. Do you think she'll come on for that, or do you take her on here?
No, I think she'll definitely come on for that. I think if you're a fan of Journey, then don't stop believing. There you go. Saw that coming a mile off. John Gosden's charge. I said before the race at York that she was a late developing filly last season, and I think it might well be the same thing around this time. She clearly comes on for her debuts, and she travelled really well and just seemed to blow up a little bit at York. So everything seemed to point to the fact that she needed that first run of the season. She's back up to a more suitable trip of a mile and a half. I think it's all systems go for Journey. I think she's going to take this, hopefully, on the route to better things at the back end of the season. If she does face a challenger, it might well be from a stablemate, and I do think Mill Springs has more to come this year. Again, this looks a little bit like a prep run for her. She improved over a mile and 6 last year and will no doubt step back up in trip after this. So I think Journey will win. Keep an eye on Mill Springs, though. If she shapes encouragingly, then she's one to watch.
All right, Journey to win, Mill Springs to keep an eye on in that one. Moving on to the 3.10 at Haydock next. This one is a Group 3 over 7 furlongs. It was the John of Gaunt Stakes. And we've got a field of 11 to go to post here. At the time of recording this, Home of the Brave is the 7-2 favourite. So Beloved is 9-2. It's 11-2 for Ade, Breton Rock and Convey. It's 9s for Here Comes When and 14s or bigger for the others. Home of the Brave to start with here. Then Ross, the Hugo Palmer runner, was a pretty impressive winner at Leicester last time in the Richard III Stakes. This is more difficult, though, so do you expect him to get involved again here?
Probably, yeah, but you're right. I'm always a little bit dubious about that listed race at Leicester. It always throws up an impressive winner, but as you said, it's not necessarily as strong as it often looks at the time. Home of the Brave, though, joined Godolphin now, still with Hugo Palmer. A relatively simple runner, Home of the Brave, likes to be up there, as does plenty of Hugo Palmer's runners. But again, I think he's going to be short enough. So Beloved has good course and distance form, and Convey caught the eye last time out. But I'm going to stick with Breton Rock here, the relatively exposed performer from the Simcock Yard, whose horses are in fantastic form at the moment. Should definitely come on for its run at Sandown last time out when it was over a mile. Much better over this trip. Loves it here at Haydock over 7 furlongs. Wouldn't want the ground too quick. If it's quicker than good to soft, he might well struggle. But if he does get a little bit of ease underfoot, then I think Breton Rock is a rock-solid each-way play against the rivals at Haydock. He just seems to have everything in his favour on Saturday, because they're presuming, of course, he doesn't get too dry.
Each-way play for Ross then there, and we finish off in the 3:45 at Haydock Park. This is the Sandy Lane Stakes, a Group 2 over 6 furlongs. It's for the three-year-olds. At the time of recording this, it's Gifted Master at the top of the market at 7-4, 9-2 for Larioca, 5-1 for Burattino, 13-2 Don Juan Triumphant, 7s for Quiet Reflection, and 10s or bigger for the rest. Gifted Master Ross has now won his last 5 starts. He's not necessarily the most straightforward on the way to post or going into the stalls, but he has some ability, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's like someone shook up a can of Coke, isn't he? And then just let it go. But clearly that talent gets him through. As he's bolted up his last couple of starts, he looks a very, very talented sprinter, and he's up against a fair old handful of horses who maybe aren't going to be at their best today. Larioca comes from the Henry Candy stable, whose horses have pretty much all needed their first run of the season, so I'd be slightly against her. Don Juan Triumphant improved in a very short amount of time last season and has to prove that wasn't just not a blip necessarily, but he has to come back to that level, which I'm always a little bit dubious about. So I think Burattino's worth chancing. He is dropping back to sprinting after disappointing in the Guineas behind Galileo Gold. But I think he's definitely going to be better as a sprinter. So I think Burattino's worth chancing. He should get a lovely toe into it from the Hugo Palmer trained favourite. So Burattino for me on the drop back to a shorter trip.
Burattino for Ross there then. Good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary then before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections for Saturday one more time.
We will go for Ocean Legend and Gabriel's Kaka at Chester. We will go for Journey with an eye on Mill Springs at Haydock. Breton Rock in the 7 furlong group race, and Burattino dropping back to sprinting.
Superb. Good work, Ross. Thank you very much. Good luck, and enjoy it on Saturday.
Adios, amigo.
There you go, the thoughts of Ross Brierley on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35 p.m. It'll be myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Kevin O'Malley and Rory Delaghi. We've got these meetings at Haydock and Chester, plus we've got racing at Beverley and Catterick on the flat, Cartmel over jumps in the afternoon, and evening racing from Fosslass and Salisbury. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.